Well, today is Father's Day. There's a lot of got a lot of messages about people doing Father's Day celebrations, which is good. Me being a pastor, I did mine yesterday. My kids learned a long time ago, if their birthday or anniversary, my wife's anniversary, my anniversary too, not just my wife's, and anything like that falls on the church service, it's getting moved. It's not that they're more important. It's easier to move 5 people than it is to move 50 people, if that makes sense, just pure practicality. And so we did ours yesterday, had a great time. Me and Ezra went down to Atlanta, where my 2 daughters are, and just cut up, and it was great, good time. And what's that? No, we're not bringing up anything we talked about there. We get so slapstick happy, man. People go, "You're a pastor." No, we're not cussing or anything or doing anything bad. It's just we just have a good time. But today, tonight, I want to talk about fathers. And so I've got three kids. He's one of them from 22 to 29, the 2 oldest. He's the youngest. He's my favorite son. The two oldest are girls, and they're 26 and 29. And I'm just going to share with you some of the things I learned about being a father. I know a lot of you have kids that are grown, except for the young man with 8 kids back here. And Josh, wherever he went, he's got young kids. But this also applies to grandfathers. And these are things I pretty much learned on my own after raising kids. I did read as much as I could because I'm a reader when I had young kids, and they helped. There's a good book by Danny Silk called Loving Your Kids on Purpose. It came out when they were probably in their teenagers, but it's a great book if you want that one. I highly recommend it. And but you know, usually in the doing is where you wrestle and figure out how to do it. You get as much, there is value in counselors, there is value in wisdom. And but really we learn the most by going and doing it. So we take that base and then we take off of it. And so these are things I picked up. And I'm going to be honest with you, my biggest guide of being a parent, and it's a lot of this I learned maybe halfway through or three quarters of the way through. I wish I'd known from the beginning. And so that's sort of how experience and wisdom works. And so, but most of my parenting came when I didn't know what to do or know how to do it. He would say, "Well, how do I parent you?" This is the father. How am I your father? So I started codifying, writing down these principles, and I'll give you 5, 4, 5, 6, depending on if we run out of time, things that I just picked up and learned from him. Now, there are, I can't remember it, I'm doing this off the top of my head, there is one other book I recommend for parenting. One is Loving Your Kids on Purpose by Danny Silk. The other one, maybe I'll remember it through this teaching. If not, I can maybe send it out in the text message. And on some of the practicals like discipline, and those kind of things, because loving your kids on purpose is sort of a big picture thing, which is excellent. The other one's some practical hands-on, and I'll find it and put it in the text message this week. So they both go hand in hand. And so the principles I'm doing tonight are more of the big principles, not the discipline. Each parent has to sort of wrestle through with that. It's funny, all parents start out, "I will never spank my kids," and it's always an evolution. Some of them don't, but, you know, once they get old enough to understand sitting in the corner, you can do that. But when they're, as we were talking earlier, when they're 9 months old, sitting in the corner, they don't even know what you mean. And so, but that's, I'm not getting into that. Mine's more of the big principles. But fatherhood is a big deal. And so he taught me a lot about how to be a father by how I walked with him, because by that time I did have a good understanding of how it was to walk with a father. If you think Father God is judgmental, always slapping you over the knee, probably don't take that approach. Just listen to some of the big principles I have as we go through there. But fathers is a big deal. I was thinking earlier, I'm just going to throw this out. It wasn't in my notes, but Maybe the Holy Spirit's prompting me. If not, then we'll go on. But about 1 out of 8, I looked it up today, pregnancies end in miscarriage. Most women / men have gone through a miscarriage. And that's just a painful thing. And just something along the way, the Lord has just shown me. He said, I'm taking care of those kids. And while you can't raise them in the standard sense, because they're not here, they're in heaven, they don't just go off into some sleep of the soul and disappear. They're being raised in heaven. Time is different than here, but they're being raised. I don't know what, you know, if it was 30 years ago this happened. They may or may not be 30. They may be whatever. Time's different. But they're being raised. And I'm going to throw myself out on a limb. I'm not going to make it a doctrine because I can't prove it. But I really think they know who their parents are. And they're made aware of the circumstances. So I just throw that out as a comfort. If it is a comfort, maybe it causes pain. I don't know. But we will one day meet those. And just to throw out a wild example, and if you think I'm off the deep end, I might be, and you can go with it. But 5 years ago, it's almost five and a half years ago, I was preaching on the island of Guadalupe in the Caribbean or Caribbean, depending on what part of the country you're from. And so I was preaching there, and then before I preached, it was a couple hours before I preached, I just knew in my spirit with a powerful just presence. I almost blurted it out to a group of people that I was around. Oh, I did, to a group of people around me. Jesus just walked onto the island. Okay, now, Jesus is God. He can go wherever He wants to, whenever He wants to. And Holy Spirit is always with us. In a sense, He's omnipresent. But, I mean, He is omnipresent, but at the same time, He has a form like us. And He can come in and out of time wherever He wants to. But I just knew, in a bigger sense than Him as my Savior, He just walked onto the island. And I was like, wow, tonight's going to be a powerful meeting. And so about 30 minutes before I preached, Holy Spirit came to me and said, and so let me back up. I'm getting a little ahead. So we've got 3 kids, but our first child was a stillborn at birth. There's a girl we named her Anna. She'd be 32 now if she was still alive, in that sense. And so we worked through all that. I know all the pain of that, especially when you go, you know, it's just full pregnancy. It's a big deal. And so I'm just sitting there, 30 minutes where I'm supposed to preach. Jesus, I did not see Him. I've never seen Jesus, but I've had many encounters with Him when I knew He was there. And the Holy Spirit said, Jesus has brought Anna here. Because she wants to see her dad preach. Is that cool? And so I've shared that story before. A lot of you may have heard it, may not. So that's just, you can't make a doctrine out of it. But they are aware of what's going on in the earth. And they're not sad. They're not grieving in the sense that we grieve. But they are aware of it. And since then, I've had other words about her entering this realm. Just to be a part. So, if you've been through a miscarriage, they know more than what you think there. They've just not disappeared. You'll meet them one day, and you'll know about them. And so, let's talk about fathers, because we need them in this society so bad. Malachi 4, 5, and 6 says this. It's a common verse. Behold, this is the last prophetic word in the Old Testament before the New Testament. And between the Old Testament and the New Testament was 400 years where there was no word from God. 400 years, no word to the Israelites. 400, that's longer than we've been a country. Do you realize that? I mean, we're 250 years old basically now. And so in next year, another 150 years after that, or with that, that Jesus, or nobody was spoken to him. That was not His will, but they rejected Him. And so He said, all right, you're on your own. Don't ever reject the Holy Spirit, because if you reject Him enough, it gets to the place where it hardens our hearts and we get deceived. But anyway, so this was the last prophetic word. Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet. Now, most people think this is John the Baptist. because Elijah had already passed away or taken to heaven. Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And he'll restore the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers so they don't come and smite the land with a curse. So this is what I want to dwell in on the negative, but then we're going to come back out to the positive. He said, if the hearts of the fathers are not for their children, the land is cursed. We are, I believe, and probably, well, I know for this country, we're in one of the most fatherless, this is the most fatherless time in the history of our country. And, you know, I looked it up. There was one other time where there was less fathers per kids. It was at 1820. And, I'm sorry, 1860. That's when almost 700,000 men died in the Civil War. It took two decades for fathers to start being rejuvenated because they literally died in the war. And so, I'm not going to go through all this. Well, let me hit just some real high level. Since it's fathers, this is the point I want to get across. Our society has downplayed and even made fun of and made out of jokes fathers. Most sitcoms are making fun of fathers. They're not been seen as heroes. They've not been seen for the value that they are. They're not seen to be the importance that they are. There are four pros that we always need to abide by. And our politics always need to be abide by. And they come from the first three chapters of Genesis. Pro-life. Adam was on the ground, and until Jesus, or the Father, the Holy Spirit, breathed on him, he did not have life. So we're always pro-life. We're always pro-marriage. Adam and Eve, he set it up that way. And then pro-family. They had a family through that line. You know, boys and girls, and said, take them in. And then pro-freedom. He gave them freedom in the Garden of Eden to choose the tree of life or not choose the tree of life. If they chose the tree of life, certain things happened, which were good. If they did not, certain things were bad. And so, I say that because the devil, and he has succeeded in this country, but this group of people here, and people like us all across this country, we're going to change this. He has attacked pro-life. He's by different definitions. He's attacked pro-marriage by moving it away from a man and a wife. He's attacked pro-family by moving it away from the traditional nuclear family. And he's moved freedom into chaos. So much freedom that there's no discipline. And so this is the point. We need fathers more than ever. Because laws will not restore the family. Fathers and mothers restore the family. And there are things that mothers are good at, nurturers, they're more intuitive, they're much more of a peacemaker. But there are things fathers do well, and we need that. Because many of the societal chaos that we have is because of the breakdown of those four things, especially the roles of men. I mean, several years ago, there was this whole topic about toxic masculinity. Y'all know what I'm talking about? If not, then it's okay. They were attacking men. Most of the things I listened to when they were saying this is toxic masculinity, which usually came from women that were probably not in good situations, I was like, that's how God made us. We're supposed to be that way. I'm not talking about abuse. I'm not talking about sexual abuse or verbal abuse. But those are characteristics. And they've tried to make men like women. Correct. And we just need to give that up. Men are made in the image of God. Women are made in the image of God. And together we make a good complement. We don't want dictators. We don't want abusers. I'm not saying any of that. But as we go through some of this, we'll see. If a man is not in society, which he has not been for probably 40 to 50 years, okay, this not just started happening. Let me give you some things, and probably many of you grew up in this, or you may be living in it now, but I give you hope as we align our life with Jesus Christ, he can reverse the curse. 1971, 8% of households were single parents. Today, it's 92%. It's huge. No, I didn't. Wait a minute. I'm not doing my notes right. 1971 is 8%. 2011, I said today, 2011, it's 78%, not 92%. That was the flip side of something else. 60% of children in single-parent homes are in poverty. 11% of two-parent homes. You see how it floats back when you align yourself for pro-life, for a marriage, for a family, for freedom. It affects everything. I could go on and on, but let's just leave it at that. The amount of people in prison. It's interesting working with different people that have been in the prison system. I've met very few that were in a healthy traditional family. Have you ever met any of them like that? Yeah. No, it's not. It's just crazy. So let's talk about what fathers. And so if you're a father or if you're a grandfather, do the same thing as a grandfather. Get before the Lord and go, I have a purpose for the next generation. I'm telling you, you have a purpose for the next generation. Sean and I, our kid's already grown, but we can pray it for. He's got one grandkid, another one coming on the way. And this is what I want to put out. Even if my kids are in their 20s or 30s or however they old they are, they still need these values in their life. Amen. You need a father, even if you're in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. And you just say, well, you know, they're adults now. They still need these things, especially if they didn't get them. Now, it's a whole different setup because you can't impose it. You can't make it happen. But I'm telling you, they need it. The first thing I got down here is fathers give value to their kids. Everybody. Now, I'm not saying women can't do this either. Women can do this. But men just seem to have a stronger anointing to do it. It's like mothers are very much more nurturers as a general thing. Does that mean men can't be nurturers? No, they need to be nurturers, but they might not flow quite as easily or as naturally. But fathers give value. And you need to give value to your kids no matter how old they are. Now, that doesn't mean you sit there and make up stuff and flatter them. That means, Lord, what were they created for? He'll give you insight into them that they don't even have. Start watching their life, observing their patterns. Even if they're not saved, even if not following the Lord, they still need to be appreciated. They still need to be assigned. They still need these things in their life. And as you get older and they're older, you have to do it different ways. But they, once you set up a relationship with them, you can give them value. One of the things I realized, and this is subtle, and Israel's here so he can judge everything I say, is, of course, most of y'all know my whole life, is, you know, I've gotten up and gone to work for my entire life. I'm 65, so for 40 years, 45 years, however long it is, and got up and gone to work. That subtly sends a message and taking care of their needs. Do they live like kings? No. Do they have clothes? Yes. Do they have the latest clothes? No. Do they get fed? Yes. Did we go to Ruth Chris Steakhouse? No, I've never even been there once, but it's still one of my goals. I actually went out there recently, and I've heard how good their steaks are. I love their steak. I said, well, I wonder how much there is, how they are, because they got one up in off of Shallowford Road. The cheapest steak, which is by itself, without any potato or anything else, was $65. And then you add other jazz, you know, buy the potato, buy the whatever else you want, slaw, green bean. And so it's going to be over $100 per person. And I was like, I might could do that if I went by myself, but that's sort of pointless, isn't it? And I thought, well, if I bring my whole family, now two of them's got, you know, husband-in-laws or whatever you call them. Husbands, I can't even think. You know, that'd be like $700. And I'm like, no, I don't want to go to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse yet. But by getting up, going to work, it shows them subtly. Now, they're older when they realize it. I'm of value because this father is sacrificing to make sure my basic needs are met. And this is valuable. You know, many times I was like, you know, I just soon not go to work today. And I'm thinking, you know, if I was single, I could do that. Maybe. But I've got all these people dependent on me. And somewhere along the way, they realize, okay, I am valuable because he's given of his time and sacrificing to do this. Another one I got down here is fathers give purpose. This society, if you follow the trends and follow the, I'm a big reader, especially of news, this is the most directionless, purposeless, lack of meaning generation. This is secular psychologists telling us this. Probably in the history of our country. They don't know what they're going to do. They're trying to find themselves. They're just directionless. I'm telling you, the reason, you know, we like to dump on Gen Z and Gen Alpha now and the younger and go, they don't have any directions. I'm telling you, we did it to them. Now, everybody's got a personal responsibility, but if you grow up without a father, mothers usually jump in there and do the best that they can. But there's something about the father that just says, listen, you have got a destiny. You've got an identity. I don't exactly know how all this is going to work out, but it's going to work out. And, well, what do I do till I find my passion? You go and find a job. If it happens to be your passion, you're probably one out of 10,000 people in America. But you go find a job. Why? Because you need a skill to provide for yourself and your future family. Your purpose is to be a great mother. Your purpose is to be a great wife. Your purpose is to be a great father. Your purpose is to be a great husband, and one of them. And so those are purposes. And this is a big deal, especially around puberty. The amount of sexual weirdness out there is off the scale. And it's because there's not a father and mothers that are not following the Lord. When they hit puberty, everybody gets these weird thoughts. The hormones are racing. That's not the time to encourage a boy to experiment with being a girl. This is where they need a father that comes along. Listen, I'm 30 years older than you. I had you, okay? And you were successful, and I got a marriage. This will pass. Ignore the hormones. Keep moving forward. You're not a girl. You're just a boy, and the hormones are kicking in. Instead of this idiotic stuff going, well, explore being a girl. And then they get confused. They get messed up. And it's very hard for them to come back many times. And so the fathers are giving them purpose. They're coming along at different times. Teenagers hate this. Would you stop wasting your time? This is what you need to do. Yeah, you can do some of this, but, you know, what you're doing at your teenage years, you're going to be doing in your 30s. Not in a mean way, but it gives them purpose and go, listen, that's what I'm doing. Do you think I like getting out and cutting the grass and doing everything else I'm doing and la, la, la? You know, cleaning the house, your mom's cleaning the house, or who's ever doing it in the laundry. This is life. Well, I don't want to do it. I can't tell you how many parents I've seen not here. Oh, okay, I hate to do anything against your will. BS. The whole rest of your life, there's going to be times where you just have to get up, go do it. Do I ever get a break? Yes, after you do this. And what it does is teaching them for life. You know, you don't want your kids to be one of these hooligans out in L.A. throwing rocks at the police and setting fires. Those are the ones that said, follow your passion. You know, just go with the flow. And then they end up in jail and go, what happens? Because nobody told them, this is what happens. You know, I'll pick on Israel because he's here. When he started driving, I said, if you go over 15 miles an hour over the speed limit, I'm not saying he did, I'm just giving you general lessons. If you go over 15 miles, okay, so he told on himself. I said, you shouldn't be speeding, but if you go over 15, it's a super speeder. And I'm just telling you, I can't keep you from doing it. I'm not going to be riding in the car, but there's going to be consequences. You know, it's not much of a purpose, but purposes keep going to the speed limit. And it's okay to do that kind of stuff and teach them. And he had a super speeder and $750 in a class later. But you hadn't gone over that. Well, I don't want to know. I don't care. And that's a minor example, but there's other bigger, major examples. And you can't, when your kids get to a certain age, you can't make them do it, but you can still speak purpose to them. You can go to them and they're off going nuts. Go, why are you doing this? This is not going to turn out well. I still love you. I'm not breaking off a relationship. But if you want to be successful in a capitalistic economy, this is what you do. This is how you behave. If you want to be successful with God and keep hearing His voice, this is what you do, and this is how you behave. And they may ignore you. And this is something I've learned. I was not a good parent by being a perfect parent. I am not a good parent because my kids all turned out right. I used to get under that condemnation when they did a super speed, or where did I go wrong? What did I do? La, la, la. Whatever, you fill in the blanks. And the father just shut me down. He said, listen, I only had two kids. You've got three. I was the perfect father in the perfect environment. There was no police, perfect food, perfect dress. And they left me and disobeyed me. Why do you think you're above me? Well, what about that verse? You raise a kid in the way he should go, and he will not depart from it. I don't know. Jesus, the father's kids departed from him. They eventually came back. I really think that's what it boils down to, that eventually the truths come back up inside of them and they return. But so we just do the best we can. Third thing, fathers give integrity. This is a biggie. Don't preach something you're not doing. Your walk, and we know this, this is common sense, but your walk is so much more important than what you say. Matter of fact, if your walk doesn't match your talk, they will probably reject your talk just because they see the two-sided. So live a life of honesty, transparency. Your struggles with God, share with them. That's age-appropriate. I mean, if you're saying, man, I'm going to kill somebody, don't share that. I'm extreme. Work with the father there. But be open. Be open about your relationship. Be open about who you are. Be a person of truth, transparency, integrity. Be genuine. And if you're struggling, tell them I'm struggling, but I know that the Lord will help me. What you're doing is teaching them how to be an adult. And they'll realize life is not all rainbows and unicorns, but this is how you live. Let me do one more. Fathers give confidence. This is a big one. Value, purpose, integrity, and confidence. So what does that mean? And I think this is a result of a fatherless generation. The amount of people that are getting married is dropping a whole lot. I don't remember the statistics. There's less people getting married older and later. One of the number one reasons is the boy, not the girl. They don't want to take responsibility. Why? Because they've never seen it played out. They saw the dad abandon them when the woman got pregnant, or when times got tough, they divorced their wife, or whatever. Okay? They never saw, that's the importance of the value of what you do. Okay, my dad stuck it out. I saw him argue with my mom sometimes, but he still showed up. And through that, I know this can work. And so the confidence that they can be a husband and can be a father has dropped because they've never seen it. They don't know what to do. See, the natural progression is this. You just mimic what your parents did and improve on the weaknesses because nobody's... Already, Grace, it's hilarious, my middle daughter, she's already telling me how she's going to do stuff better than I did in certain areas. And you know, she's probably right in some areas, because I'm not perfect. But I'm thinking in the back of my mind, I'm not saying it, I'm going to come back in 20 years and go, well, look at the places that you're not, because she said, I'm going to be the perfect parent. We all want to be. And hopefully we move it forward, the needle, every generation. That's the right way to do it. You learn from your parents. You move the needle forward. But you'll do some things. Every generation goes, I can do that better. And that's sort of the way life is. And that's good. Go at it, man. I did the best I can. I refuse to get under guilt, condemnation, shame, rejection. I did the best I could. Go after it and do better. And so that gives you the confidence to be a husband, to be a father, to be a mother, to be a wife, because you've seen it work out. You've seen them work through some stuff, and you say, okay, I know how to do that. It also, guys, there's something in guys, and this is where this toxic masculinity BS comes in, falsehoods. Guys are made to conquer. Yes. Why do you think they like to go hunting? Women do hunt, but what's the ratio? Maybe 9 out of 10 or 9.5 out of 10 are men go hunting. You fill in the blank. Wild, crazy stuff, you know, motorcycle, cross racing. Yes, you know, on the dirt tracks. Yes, there are some women, but you go out there on a Saturday, it's almost all men do it. They have to, they are made to take territory. They're made to conquer. And the feminist movement, the masculine toxicity movement's trying to kill that, because that is one of the things that helps move the kingdom of God forward. Maybe not motocross racing, but you get the point. You live it out. We're going to build businesses. We're going to expand our house, build on it. We're going to make Taj Mahal gardens, like David has got one of the best gardens that's on in the west side of Whitfield County over there. And so he has conquered them tomato plants and whatever else comes. I'm not making fun of it. It's amazing. And so conquering is biblical. Well, I've seen my dad, my parents start this business, or he's in this position at work. Because he did it, I have a shot at doing it, and I can always go back to him and ask how to do it and to get confidence. Now, one mistake parents often do is try to get their kids to do what they want them to do, to be the proverbial doctor or lawyer. Don't do that. What is inside of them? What's their direction? What's their thing? And then help them get there, you know, within reason. Yes, let's give you a hard time. And so, and help them to, you know, navigate that path. If they have a parents, especially they follow back behind them cheering, but not just flattering. Generally go, okay, I don't think this is going to fit you. If you want to go for it, I'll help you, but I don't see this strength in you, but I see this strength in you. Then that helps and gives them the confidence somebody's behind them. Now, all of this, doesn't the Father God do that same thing for you? Think about it. When you go to Him, He's not lambasting you. He's not judging you. He's not doing lightning bolts. He's giving you value. He's helping you find your purpose. I would have never thought, you know, at 18, that my purpose was to found a church in Dalton, Georgia. But He got me here. And it's a progression and evolution. Of course, the Father God has integrity. And the Father God gives confidence all the time. And He says, I discipline those that are my children. That word discipline is not punishment. It's moving you in a direction to match how you were created. I've gone long enough. Amen. So yay to fathers. Yay to grandfathers. Yay, if you've got kids that have been separated from you for whatever, pray to God how to get back in their life. Maybe it's texting, you know, depending on the legal custody battles. I get all of that. Maybe it's just texting or calling them. But I'm telling you, every kid, even when they're 35, want to hear from their fathers, if they're good fathers. Their fathers abuse them. Of course, they don't want to hear from them. But you can just pray, how can I get back in? They still need what's in. We go, I blew it. Well, we can change it by the power of the Jesus Christ and the power of the cross. They still need that father figure. As Sean, I'm telling on him, but we're all family here. Said many times, he grew up without a father. And through his 40s, and well, he's not in his 50s yet, but through his sort of, what are you, 50 now? 53. Oh, Phil, so in his 50s, there's still times he's let the Father God be his father. And he's had some earthly men that were good peers to him. But even then, there's that space, because we were made to be pro-life, pro-marriage, pro-family. And no matter how much stuff is going on in society, it's not going to change it. Let me pray over you guys. Father, I thank you for every person here. And I thank you that you're restoring in your church as a seed for this society, the value of fathers. And I just applaud fathers. It's a hard job. Mothers is a hard job. Both of them are a hard job, especially in this society. I pray that you give them wisdom. Give grandfathers wisdom of how to apply this in the right appropriate times of their ages. In Jesus' name, amen.